There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're live at the Elder Dragon Journal podcast. This is your host, Igor, and as always with me is my co-host, Niksha. Say hi, Niksha.
Hi.
So, it's been a while again.
Again.
But it's fine. What up, Niksha? Are you doing good?
I'm doing fine, yeah.
That sounds super optimistic, Niksha.
As always. How about you?
Trampled from the work because it was a Sunday and everybody had to go to, you know, instead of spending time with their families, loved ones, they had to go to a bloody bar.
Yeah.
Good job, people. But, you know, it's fine. We survived. We went to a shop for things. We got many, many things. Basically, Tess got her Christmas bonus in form of the following. She buys in one store things enough for 600 kuna, and her boss will refund her that. That's her Christmas bonus. So we bought a bunch of things for 600 kuna.
Oh.
And then we had to climb 4 flights of stairs to get to the apartment. 3 times. To bring all those things upstairs. Not gonna lie, I kinda died.
Sounds like a slight dying on your part, yeah.
Ah, well, you know, that's just because I'm old. And that's it. I'm 1 year older than I used to be, I think, last time. No, yeah. I'm 1 year older than last time we recorded the podcast.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, congratulations on surviving another rotation around the sun.
Hooray.
Congratulations on not getting hit by a solar flare.
Let's do it one more time.
Yeah, at least.
I would like to avoid solar flares, by the way. Those sound like a bitch.
They're horrible for a tan line.
Yep. Also, they're horrible for our electronics, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Just the downfall of most of civilization, you know, nothing special.
Yeah.
But, anywho, do you have some commandos of the week?
I do.
Holy crap.
So, while you were out working, I've been playing some Commander, and a couple of days ago we played some, let's say, casual Commander. Like, casual is like, it's not casual, but it's not super competitive as well. So I was on Golos, and I was playing against a literal actual Baby Jace. Tatyova. And Najila.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly a Wild Kicker appeared. I mean, it was my deck, but, you know, a fifth person showed up. So we played a couple of games, I think 2 or 3. And Kicker won 2 of them. But there was this interesting situation where Jace had a Aetherflux Reservoir with 51 life.
Oh.
And Kicker had an Aetherflux Reservoir with 80 life.
Oh.
And then there was this Fungus player who was just looking like, yeah, don't shoot me, please. There was the Tatyova player who was like, don't shoot me, please. And then there was I with, yeah, I have Gisela, you can try to shoot me. Or you can shoot each other for 100 damage each.
Doesn't it actually mean you get to kill them anyway?
Oh no, I ended up dying because, you know, you deal full damage to me once Gisela doesn't exist.
I mean, yeah, you just...
I was just encouraging them to kill each other first.
But you didn't.
Well, I did die last. Turns out that Gisela is really good when you have Aria of Flame out.
Oh.
And when you trigger Area of Flame, in response, you play a couple more spells. And then it turns out that with three spells, you're doing like 40 damage. Perfectly fair and balanced, if you ask me.
Just like Fox News.
I should actually think about putting Gisela in Kikar.
Are you going to put Gisela in all of your decks?
Well, not really all of them. Like, not in Scarecrows. And that's about it from the decks that can actually run Gisela.
Huh.
So, the whole point was that we were playing... Everyone was playing around Gisela. Because they did return it to my hand, but it did have a way to flash it in. With the Alchemist Refuge.
Mm-hmm.
So... If they shoot me, I play Gisela in response and take only 25.
Huh.
And you see, at one point, the Jace player snapped and shot the Kikar player, but the Kikar player killed him in response, so the Kikar player didn't actually die. Because, you
a
know... When...
A casual killing person in response.
Yeah. Because when you kill a person, all of their effects leave the stack.
That's how it works, yes.
Afraid of losing? Just win instead, lol.
I mean, that's how it goes.
So...
That reminds me of a subreddit, basically Korean... hashtag r/rKoreanAdvice. Basically, imagine you need help with League of Legends, but you're asking Koreans for help. I need extra 50 gold for an item. Have you tried exploding the enemy Nexus, basically giving you 50 gold? And that type of advice. And like, oh yeah, didn't think of it that way. Anywho, yep. You were saying?
So we had a couple of games and one almost non-game where there was a contamination on play and literally no one could do anything. And the fungus guy just made Sepralings.
I like contamination.
So none of us actually played anything. I had to use the factor fiction, not the factor, the gifts ungiven with Bolas.
Mm-hmm. Deliver unto evil.
Deliver unto evil on three targets and in my graveyard, and those were a signet, and a Farseek.
Wow.
I know I actually played Cisse just to attack someone so she dies so I can actually have three targets in my graveyard.
Holy crap.
So I can get one card back with Deliver Unto Evil.
That's full on desperation mode.
Yes, it was.
Isn't Contamination fun?
I mean, it's completely balanced until somebody has infinite supply of creatures.
Usually things get broken at that point, yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there weren't infinite creatures, but... You know, for 4 mana you get a creature.
It was more than enough for the time being.
And, you know, nobody else gets to play Magic, so it's a good deal.
It's a perfect amount of having fun.
And those were my Commander games with Golos. And that was about it.
I think I'll speak of my Commander games a bit later, because that's going to be a thing we'll talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But we did, last time mention we were going to Bologna, right?
We certainly did plan on going to Bologna.
Well, we actually have. Good on us.
Yeah.
So... how do we start the talk about Bologna?
Well, let's start with the more positive part, with the actual event. So, the event itself, this was my first major Magic event, and even though it started off really crummy, like, I entered a Modern side event and went 1-1-1, because I drew in the first game against Simic with Oko, because Oko kept making my stuff into Elks, and then countering my cards. I mean, who does that?
He's known to turn stuff into odds.
Like, Oko isn't even the problem. The biggest problem were the stupid cryptic commands and then that stupid land putting them back on top.
Oh my god.
And guess what? The land is fetchable. So instant speed put your command back on top. It was like, yeah, cool. Thanks.
That's what I wanted. Andra did actually 2-0-1 that went.
Yeah. He actually won the first two and then drew the last.
No, he 2-0'd. And then I showed him the sign that says, if you actually 2-0 the event, you can actually come and pick up your prize as if you 2-0-1.
Yeah, or you can play for a chance to go 3-0.
He was like, it's actually not worth it to
risk it. It's not, because if you go 3-0, you get 400 points. If you go 2-1, you get like 200 points or 150. I think it's 200, and at 2-0-1, it's 300 points, so...
Yes.
Yeah. No point. Yeah, just... No, not a really big deal in playing.
I was moving between your table and his just to see the games. The game I saw for him was extremely funny. I take a look at the board state, right? Mm-hmm. I see his opponent having a red-white chalkland and a mountain. He's playing burn, obviously. And I see Andro putting down a Trinisphere. I was like, oh, I know how this game is going. Guess how it went.
I can see how it went.
Andro was playing Magic. The other guy was not.
Yeah, because Andro had 7 mana in his disposal, while his opponent had 0, because, you know, 2 lands are not enough to play through Trinisphere.
Nope. A guy basically finally draws a 3rd land, plays a thing, and Andro Karns that land.
Nice.
And then guy, after a couple turns, plays another land, and that also gets Karned.
Because praise Karn.
Yeah, praise Karn. That was fun thing to look at. What happened after that?
Well, after that, I did try to find something with the vendors.
Mm-hmm.
You
were trying to sell stuff, if I remember
correctly. Yeah, I was trying to sell stuff, but their sell and trading prices were abysmal. Like,
oh, yeah.
I was trying to trade in my foil Teferi, the 3-cost Teferi,
mm-hmm.
for a regular one and some extra cards. And then I was like, okay, how much is this Teferi worth in trade? My foil Teferi. So it's like 25 euros, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How much is your regular Teferi? They look at me, they look at their prices, and they're like, 25 euros. And I'm like, okay.
See ya.
See ya. So, yeah, that didn't go as planned. I did manage to get some alternate art planeswalkers.
Mm-hmm.
I
was gonna say, we in the meantime did a smart thing and actually paid 35 euros to enter the command zone just for the day. And then in the command zone you would get that really nice soul ring that's not foiled.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at each other, we're like, you know what we have to do with this. Yes, we just went to the vendors and traded stuff for the thing.
Yeah, and you basically got the entrance fee back in cards.
Turns out the command zone costed less 5 euros.
Yep.
Which I was like, that's a fair trade. I will actually pay 5 euros to have a place to sit around the whole day and enjoy.
Yeah, and quite a bit of space to sit.
Mm-hmm. There wasn't too many people, but we actually played a bunch of games with people and had fun.
Yeah, we played some interesting games.
The best part of the whole thing was when that judge came around, looked at my deck, I was playing Cadena, and his first reaction was, what the hell is this? Because if some listeners might remember, it's the basically super thick big deck.
Yeah, it's super thick, super big, because you not only did you triple sleeve it, but it also has a custom background by inserting
morph.
Theros morph tokens at the back of the protectors.
Cons.
Yeah, cons. So it wasn't a 99 card deck. It was a 198 card deck.
Yeah, basically, guy looks at it. He takes out the camera just to take a picture of that, and then Tesk asks him, "Is this the weirdest thing you've seen yet in the Magic event?" He's like, "Well, today it is." Then we had a good laugh. I think Tess won that one game. And I was playing against people's casual deck with my Alesha deck. Guess what? Stacks doesn't work that well as against casual decks.
Well, it depends on the stacks.
I did win one game, though, which was a super sneaky one.
Sneaky.
Basically, you were having... you were playing Scarecrows, right?
Yeah.
And you had that stupid Scarecrow from Modern Horizons, that basically that artifact that can produce a 2/2 changeling each turn.
Oh, yeah.
And you were basically the police of the table.
Yep.
And the guy who was playing Izzet didn't like the thing and destroyed it. And I looked at my hand, basically it had Kiki-Jiki, it had Village Bellringers. I'm like, okay. Guy, and you all knew about Kiki-Jiki. Because I did fetch it earlier, tutored it for it. I look at my hand, I'm like, okay, guy tapped out to do destroying that and something else. I will play Village Bellring at a turn. He looked at me like, you motherfucker. The two guys at the table like, oh, what's going to happen now? Kiki-Jiki happened. Kiki-Jiki is a good friend.
He's a bro.
He is a bro. But yeah, the guy we played against was Slovenian, and ironically enough, Slovenia is right next to Croatia. It was much easier for us to converse in English than in, any of the languages that was
any
similar.
Other language.
Because Slovenian and Croatian are like 75-80% the same.
Yeah, it's like American English and English.
Similar, but a bit less. Cockney and American English.
Yeah, sure.
Sure, you have most of the words the same, but holy crap. But yeah, that was fun. The cards, by the way, we got for the Soul Ring. I got the Blood Moon Contamination and Massacre Girl. Tess got Skitterix, the Blight Dragon. What did you get?
Well, I got Mystic Remora. I got something else worth around 5 euros, something like that. And a promo Better Skull,
mm-hmm.
which I got for someone back in Zagreb. So I sold it for 20.
That's fine.
But I did trade in my Judge Foil Rhystic Study. And for it, I actually got a Rhystic Study.
But the regular one.
A regular one. I got the Narset alternate art. And I got the Vivian alternate art. And I got a playset of Bloodbraid Elves.
But you were angry that they didn't have your Husbando or Sorin.
Yeah.
Japanese.
Or Sorin. Or, not Sorin, the Tybalt. Mm. So there were no... I'm really disappointed by the vendors because there were no Tybalts. From the Innistrad. There weren't any alternate art Tybalts and, no worms, but then again, who would carry worms with them?
Are you actually surprised that there were no Tybalts from Innistrad?
I actually am. Like, are you even a shop if you don't have one?
Or apparently they were.
Well, I wasn't happy about that. But I did manage to finally get a Remora. So that's something. And I basically didn't lose anything. Because, get rid of a Rhystic Study, get a Rhystic Study back. So I'm completely fine with that. It wasn't like, you give a foil Teferi and get back a non-foil Teferi, which is like, no.
Also, Tess and Andrew did the mystery draft. They got like 16 playtest cards.
Yeah, because people were passing those.
And a couple of them that they got are actually worth a hefty sum.
Yeah.
And they had actual fun doing it, so that was nice.
I really thought about joining them, but
you were tired?
I was tired, and there was an entry fee, so
yeah. We did have a okay lunch in the middle of the command zone because it paid for it, so it was nice to eat while the plebs stood and ate their food. Ha. what else happened that was fun?
Well, we did try to locate the convention hall.
Oh god, that was we need to retell the story from the beginning, I think. The whole journey.
The whole journey. Okay.
So, okay, the way getting to Bologna was not eventful. It was just, you know, bus ride. We wanted to play a one-shot of D&D, but people were sleeping, so we're like, okay, let's not be assholes towards people. And we go to Bologna, we come out of the bus terminal. Look to the left, fog. Look to the right, oh, this is basically Chernobyl in 86. Everything seems rusty, destroyed, shitty. Okay, let's find our way to the hotel.
So, which way do we have to go? On the right side.
Oh, good, okay. Hooray. We walk a bit, then we find the bus station that we're supposed to take, right?
Yep.
No, it's not, because we needed a 14, but we have 14 and 14A and 14B and 14C. It took us like half an hour to figure out which one do we need to be on. But hey, we got in. We got our tickets. And then we were riding. And we were looking for any way to see which station is supposed to be ours. We couldn't find it. So luckily, our good friend Overlord Google had our back.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Google. We got out on the proper station. Hooray. We found where our hotel is. But problem is, check-in is at 2 p.m.
And we were there at like 5. Yeah.
5 a.m. Okay, we'll just hang out in the hotel a bit with it. We found the McDonald's. By the way, fun fact, Croatian McDonald's, much, much bigger amount of things you can get than Italian one, surprisingly.
Oh, well, at least those in Bologna.
Yeah, at least that one in Bologna. But okay, we ate, we got ready, we were like, okay, how much does it take for us to take the public transport to get to the place? I think it was like 41 minutes. How much does it take to us to get there just by walking? 51 minutes. Okay, then. We decided to walk. We walked through basically a city, a nice countryside place, a something in between with super narrow roads where we almost got hit by car a couple times.
Yeah, no walkways, by the way.
What are walkways? Italian people do not believe in walkways. It's a heresy to them. And then we finally found a place where the convention center is supposed to be.
At least the map told us we found it.
We saw a place where it was supposed to be, you know? It would make sense for it to be, but the map is saying otherwise. Then we're like, okay, let's trust the map.
Yeah,
we come to the spot.
Uh-huh.
We come to the spot, we look around. This isn't it. We see a couple people with backpacks, seemingly multi-ethnical, and speaking much many foreign languages than just Italian. Let's follow them. We walked around the damn building that the sign pointed us at. We found a small sign saying magic to the right.
A super small sign.
Okay, let's follow those people still. They're going the same way we are. And then we ended up at the building we thought that was actually the convention center.
Yeah, so we made a full circle around.
Which took us like 5 minutes, by the way.
Which, and it could all have been avoided if they put the sign pointing at magic, you know, next to the convention hall.
And where the bus station was and all that.
Yeah. somewhere over there and not on the other side. It was just one sign, nothing else.
Yeah, from the outside you couldn't actually know that the place was there.
It actually looked like another bus station and not like a convention hall.
But okay, we got in, we did our events. It was actually fun hanging out with you guys the whole day. We actually pulled our tickets that we won through the day. And basically got to test a t-shirt and for all of us a booster box of Dominaria.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually cool. We can't wait to play that thing.
Yeah, Dominaria is actually kind of fun.
Oh, it was super fun to draft. And now we're going to draft it again. Hooray.
Yeah.
Do we then talk how we got back home?
Well, we wanted to go back by bus.
You tell this part of the story.
So we had to go bus by getting on two different buses.
Which is fine. It's okay.
And we get to the first bus. It was accurate, on time. We get to our second bus stop, where we had to go get to the second bus. And we're like, okay, it's gonna be here any minute now. You were looking on Google when it was arriving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's past the time, but okay. It's past the time. Okay.
And then it said that our bus left the station, like our station. And we're like, it didn't even arrive.
But that's the part okay. Maybe they missed one. Next one is in 20 minutes. We'll wait for that one. It's fine. Well, by the way, the temperature is around 4 or 5 degrees Celsius.
So we wait for the other one. 20 minutes pass, and then another 10 minutes pass. Then we were like, okay, so apparently these buses aren't driving here anymore. So
guess we walk.
Guess we'll walk. And this time we actually used the directions for actually walking. So it took us some shorter time than when we were arriving.
You missed out one part, Dominiksha. We start walking. We are like 4 minutes away from the station. Walk. We turn around to see, and what do we see?
It's goddamn the bus.
That made me super salty. Just like, God damn it! If we were 1 minute faster, we wouldn't have seen the bus, and that would actually be much better. But damn. It took us 45 minutes of walking, we were all dead tired, but we finally checked into the hotel. By the way, hotel, beautiful. The rooms were actually pretty nice, the bathroom, gorgeous, wonderful to take a bath in. We all had a good fun time doing that, we had a good sleep, I think, all of us.
Well, all of you, yeah. When I arrive at a new place, I have, for some reason, I have some severe troubles sleeping.
Oh, I just fall asleep like a corpse. It's super easy. the breakfast inside was to die for.
Yeah, it was nice. It was a buffet, and for me, buffets are just, always nice.
Oh, I mean, I worked with a lot of buffets. This is better than a good portion of what I've seen.
I mean, the only other hotel I was in. Actually, I was in two other hotels. So when I was in Dubrovnik, I was in Sheraton, and they had a pretty good buffet. And when I was like in high school, and we were on Hvar, there was this hotel that was a line of hotels. I forgot how they're called, and they also had pretty decent buffets. But they had buffets for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Hmm.
So yeah, it was pretty dope.
For me, it was weird to be on the other side of the buffet, because I'm used to working those, not actually sitting down and eating. So that was fun. We checked out of the hotel, and then we decided, let's go to actually, the old part of Bologna to see how it looks like.
Oh yeah, and this was the first time we actually managed to take a taxi, because they don't have Uber. or the other service.
Vault.
But they do have their own version of that, but you know, you don't know about it. We figured it out because we were like randomly browsing the hotel, and in the lobby there was these pamphlets like order a taxi, and was like, what is this? Okay, we can order a taxi.
And we did, by the way. It was it could have been cheaper, but okay, fine. We got to the old city, the old part of Bologna. It's actually really nice looking. The typical medieval, actually typical Renaissance city you imagine in your head.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice. And we take a walk, and you know, we were going to the bus terminal just to get our bus to get it back home. We finally got there, and oh look, remember the left side that was covered in mist? It was that. The beautiful part of the city was hidden to us when we came here.
It's like your exploration level is not high enough yet.
We didn't go
to that part of the town.
No, we didn't unlock the DLC.
We had to use some weird backdooring to get to the DLC area.
But yeah, all in all, Bologna looks nice, parts of it. But the general public transportation is not to my satisfaction.
Yeah, I prefer trams to buses, because trams, you can see where they're going, because they physically can't go anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
While buses are like...
They're shifty.
Yeah. I mean, they should be going down a set route, but... I mean, they do, but it's still... I don't know. I prefer trams. I mean, I prefer no public transportation. So...
Compare Bologna to Zagreb. If we had the Magic Fest in Zagreb, it most likely be on where all the fairs are, including Infogamer.
Mm-hmm.
And you have so many ways to actually getting there.
Yeah, and most of them are like super straightforward.
So, Wizards, Channel Fireball, maybe in like a year or two, maybe you could, you know.
Consider Zagreb?
Yeah. Because even if you are on periphery of Zagreb, you can still get using public transportation to that fairgrounds in a reasonable time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a question if that area will actually exist in a year or two.
Exists, definitely.
I mean, it was bought out.
Ah, that's a different thing.
And they're planning on, tearing the whole place down.
And rebuild it. That puts a wrench in my plans.
Yeah. But maybe they make a place where that's designed for Magic Fest, so we get a Magic Fest there.
But honestly, I think... should get Magic Fest, because we are a big part in the region, and the city is much better connected.
Yeah, and our city is it's relatively cheap, and
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, actually close to everyone.
Serbs can get here, Croatians can get here, Bosnians can get here, Italians can get here,
even Austrians can get here.
Hungarians. Like, we're actually in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you should consider us, pretty please? With the ribbon on top. But yeah, that was Bologna. Overall, it was fun. It was actually pretty cool to hang out with you, Andre, and Tess for the weekend.
Yeah, it was nice, like, going out of the city.
Next year, we're definitely going to Magic Fest in Budapest.
Yeah, next time we're definitely planning better, because getting there for just one day was actually kind of clunky, because it's the kind of event that you have to visit like at least 2 days.
Mm-hmm. And second of all, if the city was better connected with public transport, it would actually have been easier on us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we did walk like 6 kilometers to get there, and then another 4 to get back. plus all the walking we did on the Magic Fest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that reminds me. Just yesterday, I went with our friend,
like Robbie. He was actually on the podcast.
So we might get him back because he and I made some wild fan theories about about how the story is going to go. I mean, our fan theory for Throne of Eldraine was much better than what actually happened, but okay. And we were, so he told me that we're going on an adventure, and he didn't tell me what. So I was just wondering, what kind of drug deal am I getting into?
Or murder, possibly both.
Or both. And we walked, like 5 kilometers uphill, just so he could get a prismatic vista.
Yeah.
And then we walked all the way back, so we covered like 10, 11 kilometers.
I mean, you and I were perfectly fine after that, the entire day of walking in Bologna.
Yeah, because I'm used to walking everywhere.
Des fucked up by taking the wrong kind of boots, because she wasn't expecting to walk the entire, you know, day like that. And Andro was just tired. But so, on the road back, we played a game of D&D, and it was super fun. At least for me and Tess. I don't know, what was your...
Yeah, it was good.
You managed to destroy the entire universe, congrats.
I think that all of my plans lead up to that.
Well, next time you find a scroll that says, do not open in any circumstance, you know what to do.
Yeah, open it sooner rather than later.
Yep. That was our Bologna. Overall, fun trip, but let's not go there next time.
Or at least a lot better prepared. Maybe go with somebody who has a car.
30th October, Budapest will be there. You guys also be there.
I'll see. It depends how our game goes.
Also, I managed to see Menguchi from like 20 meters afar. I was too busy playing Commander to go say hi, but he looks dreamy and short. But then he's Italian, and they're actually short by nature. It was freaky to walk around Italy and being one of the taller people in there. Like, it's normal for you and Andro, you're both huge, tall, and all that. I'm like 1.75 meters, and I was like, oh my god, I'm tall in here. This is awesome. My ego got a huge boost. Maybe that's why I like the trip so much. I was like, yeah, it should be like this all the time. But after Bologna, we had our CDH pods, right? For the league.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to brag how well you did, or should I be bragging first?
Well, I did a major achievement. One major achievement. So you can go first, because there's no way you're trumping my achievement.
Oh, I definitely not, because mine was... actually, I can't say it was uneventful. We were playing 3 games. Niv-Mizzet, Tesa, Alesha, and Prosh. This is the last time Tess and I were playing together. So, first game, we keep mech hands. I managed to cataclysm to put everybody down, but the Niv-Mizzet player manages to assemble Curiosity and Niv-Mizzet. Okay, it's fine. He kills us. Second game, we raffle stomp him. And we're all trying for, you know, to win, and then we got gravestormed by the Taser player. Also, it's fine. Third game was super interesting because the Izzet player fucked up in one thing. There is a Smothering Tide on the table, right?
Mm-hmm.
He casts the 3 mana time twisted that ends your turn.
Mm-hmm.
With Smothering Tide out. Our opponent having a billion of mana is not what killed us. Tess having the Mayhem Devil out is what killed me and the Izzet player.
Mm-hmm.
Because he managed to get to 45 treasure tokens, which he sacked to kill us both. And then he saw that, you know, Tess having a huge dragon is actually what murdered him. Which is good that she murdered him that turn, because he was gonna win the turn after. But I'm like, I'm 06 now, and I think my deck actually is functioning properly. I just had actually shitty draws, and I might didn't draw my combo pieces, so I shifted my deck a bit. I got a Vesplark, so I can combo it with Felder Guardian, which is good because Felder and Guardian combos with other things. So I'm covering that. Vesplark can also get Recruiters back from the graveyard, which can again get Felder Guardian, which enables me to combo things. I got a Plague Engineer, which I think is going to be good overall throughout all the pods.
Gets rid of dorks, gets rid of Cobbles of Carekeep.
I put the Mayhem Devil in, now that I actually managed to trade for him, because you wouldn't want to trade before the games. Bastard.
I had to borrow it.
You didn't have to. But yeah, I got that, and I think that's all the changes I did to the deck. Also, part that's fucking me up is that I have the OG duels, right? Which are proxies. And this is a non-proxy event.
Yeah.
Which is kind of going against the spirit of EDH. Of CDH.
What?
But CDH is like, okay, yeah, proxy cards, because I don't want to beat you with my wallet, I want to beat you because I'm the better player.
Which I like. No. You beat people with your wallet. That's the whole point of Magic in general.
Not CDH. By the way, you know what's the card that allowed me to actually persevere for so long in like two games? The first Talia.
Of course.
Holy crap, did she do work. Not just against the spell slinger player. No. Everybody else was off their game, and I was like, thanks, Talia.
Talia's a bro.
Talia is such a bro, and whenever I think of cutting her, I'm like, no. This is the game I remembered why I keep her in the deck. Also, the Aza player gave me a weird remark when we went through my deck. He was like, maybe you should cut Sarven Sanity. Do you agree with that?
No. What? Cutting Sarven Sanity? That's insanity.
No, I was like, no. Just that guy does too much work. If he ever gets into the game, guess what happens?
Fun stuff.
The games where I have Sarven Sanity are actually super hard to lose, especially if it lands down early.
I mean, people not having access to their hand is kind of game winning, yeah.
And me having access to my hand because I'm playing Alesha. But I'll see how the further pods go. But even if I, you know, go whatever the number is, it's still fine because I'm actually having fun playing. These are interesting games.
Yeah, honestly,
playing stacks might actually be making games more interesting because people have to play a bit differently.
Yeah, because when we had our pod where we were playing four combo decks, I was at a huge disadvantage because I was playing Kikar. You can't really tutor in those colors that efficiently. And everybody else was super focused on their combo. They all comboed out, and I was like trying to police some people, but I can't, you know, stop them all. And everybody had counters to just protect their combo pieces, and sometimes to stop somebody else, but most of the time people just don't use removal to, you know, proactively, just reactively.
So what we're saying is play stacks decks, people.
That's what I did in the second pod.
And back to you. How did you go?
So the second pod I played Joyra of the Gitu. So the good Joyra. And, well, I lost all three.
Hooray! 06.
But, our good friend Mate, he played, he attacked with Zur and put out, Necropotence. And he was thinking, like, what's a good number to paint himself? And he was at, like, 25. or 15, something like that. I think it was like 20, maybe. Let's say it's 20. And I said, dude, you should totally paint yourself for 12. Like, you know, nobody's really going, no one can really attack you. There isn't really any pressure on the board. Just, you know, just paint for 12. And he was like, okay, paint for 10. And there I am, sitting. I screwed up. So if he was at 20, I told him, paint for 17. What's the worst that can happen? And then he painted for 15, dropping him down to 5. And I was like, okay. Okay, no, it's fine. It's completely fine. And then, as turns passed, when he was supposed to get back on his turn, so he got to his turn, and the first card he played, it was Vampiric Tutor at his upkeep.
Oh.
And I'm like that, yeah, you resolve your tutor. Then he's like, okay, resolve tutor, draw a card, play another tutor, and like, in response, I lightning bolt you. And he's looking at me. He's looking at his hand. He's going to go in response, he's going to draw some cards. He does some other weird stuff in response. And it was like, I'm looking at him like, okay, bolt you? Does it resolve? He just kept looking at me and like, it resolves. Okay, you die? You die to bolt? Okay. I bolted a guy.
Apparently you should be playing bolt in your EDH decks.
Well, you should be playing bolt and you should be playing sudden shock, because sudden shock kills a laboratory maniac and there's nothing they can do about it.
It kills so many things. It kills Kikijikis.
Yeah, and it kills Joyras too.
Womp womp.
So yeah, I bolted a man in CDH with one singular bolt, and it was fantastic for me. I made everybody's games miserable, and you know, I'm completely fine now, and next time I'm probably gonna I did some modifications to my kicker. It's no longer a divergent transformation deck, because I don't have enough tutors for all of that, and it's really wonky. If I draw my win conditions, I just lose. It's really just bad. I don't like it. So I removed Divergent and some other combos. Now I only have the Scepter and the Thing.
Isochron Scepter, Dramatic Reversal?
The Dramatic Scepter combo. And I have the combo with the Retraction Helix and the Jeskai Ascendancy. But, you know, those cards work without being combo.
Mm-hmm.
And I put in a couple of Teferis. Like, both of the Teferi Planeswalkers. And they turned out to be really good. And the deck is more mid-rangey, so now I have also that Dockside Extortionist to give me some mana. I have Monastery Mentor, who is just a beast. He's so strong. Like,
Sudden Shock also kills him, by the way.
It does.
just saying.
It in fact does, yeah. But other than that, yeah, Monastery Mentor is super strong. And the deck seems viable in both competitive and casual, because the primary win condition of the deck is to attack people with tokens, basically.
We were actually discussing similar thing about our CDH meta. Korval, the food chain is currently, you know, one of the better food chain decks you can be playing in CDH. But in our meta, I think Prosh is actually better suited because he has that alternate win condition of smacking people in the face with a bunch of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, just because things normally superior, apparently doesn't make it so.
And for the next pod, I was thinking about bringing back Divergent Kicker, but this time he doesn't go Divergent Transformation into a combo, he goes into Eldrazi Titans.
Oh god.
Because if that plan fails, I have the backup of, you know, sacking all the Kicker spirits to actually hardcast the original Titans.
That might work, actually, yeah.
So there's that. Or I just go stacks people with Joyra again.
So I know I won't be the only stacks table at the table anymore for my next spot, because Robbie is going to be there. I'm playing a guy I already played, but I'm not sure what he's on right now. He was playing the frog, though.
He might be playing Augustin.
Okay, three stacks decks. And the chick, which I don't know what she's playing. You have any ideas?
The ninjas. No, not ninjas. Just Yuriko, but not that many ninjas in.
Mm-hmm, just a regular thing.
Yeah. Taking turns Yuriko.
Okay. Plan. Don't put all the stacks pieces on my own. Because if I do all the work, Robby's just going to be an asshole and, you know, take over the game.
I mean, that's generally how you play multiplayer Magic. You just wait for one person to do all the work and then you just take all the glory.
Henceforth, I will not be doing all the work.
But
I would like to get the win now, because 06 sucks.
Well, you're not the only one.
I know, we both suck.
Us two aren't the only ones. There's three of us who are at 06.
I'm surprised that Borna is honestly 06.
Oh yeah, him. That, so there's four of us.
But he's the most surprising. I'm like, oh, but you're an actually good Magic player. What the hell is wrong with you?
Well, people hate him then.
I know, Nixon's not my excuse. We just suck. That's okay.
Hey.
Am I wrong?
Just so you know, I went to a standard championship today, and I lost zero rounds. I haven't lost a single round.
How draft, many did you win?
Draft, on the other hand, yeah, no. Three round standard, three round draft. I lost all my draft parts. But I haven't lost a single standard round. I mean, I won one standard round, but I didn't lose any others. So yeah, I was 102.
Nice.
Well, to be fair, if I had five more minutes, I would have killed the other two.
Excuses. It's gonna be interesting to be playing against you, though, in the pod.
Oh, I'll make sure it's interesting.
You know, a smart person would actually, you know, build a secondary deck to surprise all of you. I, however, am historically not a smart person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe I'm just saying this to trick you all into thinking that I want to get a second deck. Haha.
And then suddenly morphs.
Oh god. I'm not sadistic enough. I'm not actually masochistic enough to do that to myself.
But enough of our pods. There have been some news in Magic recently.
You meant enough of us bragging how good we are at Magic.
Yeah, we're super good at Magic, apparently.
We are the goodest.
Mm-hmm.
So, Theros is happening.
Well, Theros will be happening soon.
So we have some spoilers to go through. Luckily, not that many.
Yeah, luckily there's like two.
Oh, one thing that happened before the three spoilers. We got more Judge Academy promos. Spellseeker, Demonic Tutor, Alliance Tutor, Gamble, hooray.
Mm-hmm, sure. Cool stuff.
But what's more important, speaking about Theros, Robbie was wrong, and the plains, forest, mountain, swamp, and island are getting that wonderful full art treatment.
Yeah, I mean, the when we first saw the spoiler, I was like, yeah, these are, like, too good renders to not be official. And it's like, it looks like something they would do.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we're getting those star fields as and basics.
And Robbie was like, no, it's a fake. I was like, no, it's real, and now I'm vindicted. Yes. I feel good about myself for, like, a second. But
yeah.
What cards do we actually have that are new? We already saw Elspeth, the Sun's Nemesis.
Yeah, and we actually got her... her Edgelord opponent.
It's actually Ashiok, the Nightmare Muse. I want to read what it does.
So, Ashiok is a 3 blue-black legendary planeswalker. Ashiok, for +1, it has 5 loyalty. For +1, you create a 2/3 blue and black nightmare creature token with whenever this creature attacks or blocks, each opponent exiles the top 2 cards of their library. At -3, return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand, then that player exiles a card from their hand. And at -7, you may cast up to 3 face-up cards your opponents own from exile without paying their mana costs.
Huh. This doesn't actually seem half that bad.
It's a really good grindy planeswalker.
If it doesn't get expensive, I might pick it up for Circu.
It's probably gonna get expensive because, you know, Esper control and stuff like that.
God damn it. But for EDH, how does the Ashiok seem?
Not that good.
Yeah.
Like, not in the slightest. You're not gonna get that -7, and if you get to that -7, it doesn't do anything.
Again, I'm ignoring the -7. I'm usually focusing on the +3.
Yeah, the
-3
does nothing because it targets only one person.
Mm-hmm.
The +1 mills, and we know how mill is good in Commander.
No, they exile the cards from the library.
I mean, but that's, you know, kind of like mill.
Oh, in EDH, you don't want them to mill. You want to exile things.
Yeah, but still, just the top 2 is like, eh.
It seems like a fun walker, but it's not going to do that much.
Nope.
And then it turns out it's the centerpiece to the most broken combo we've ever seen.
Of course.
It's not going to be.
But could this be the Atheros Shroud Veil, the new god spoiled?
So, this is a buy box promo, right?
Is it?
Yeah, I think it is. All the other gods are monocolored. This is the only multicolored one.
Oh, okay.
So, Atreus, while we were gone, got a bit swole. It's for 4 and white and a black. It's a 4/7. Legendary champion creature god, indestructible. As long as your devotion to white and black is less than 7, it isn't a creature. At the beginning of your end step, put a coin counter on another target creature. Whenever a creature with a coin counter on it dies or is put into exile, return that card to the battlefield under your control. Good god, this is slow.
Yeah, it's slow, it's cute, but I don't see it really that potent. I mean, the part where it says the or is put into exile is really cool, because there's no more, like, you know, you go and put gold coin, you put coin counters on, like, all the creatures, and then somebody's like, okay, final judgment, and everything's exile, and you're like...
Or even better, I just fell their guardian, my guy.
Yeah, that too.
Guess what?
Uh-huh.
Oh, if you put a coin counter on Kiki Jiki, they can't actually go with the... Felder Guardian route.
The thing is, I don't think that...
That's not gonna happen. I know.
No. When it's put into exile, that, you know, that trigger goes on the stack, but the trigger can't resolve before, you know, the effect resolves. And blinking puts them puts them in exile and back again without any, you know, space to interrupt it.
Oh, this is even worse than I thought.
And well, you, or maybe
I think you actually
will.
Maybe, I don't know. You tell me, but you see, does some does
I mean,
sound
with,
like you're
Prince, with Prince Charming, it works.
Yeah.
But this, the, it doesn't have any window of opportunity to actually steal that creature. But we'll see what the official rules say, because this is like
weird. Sounds like you're having a point.
So it might, you know, not be that good still.
It's actually worse than I thought. Sad.
Womp womp.
What's next actually good card? Because we have a couple of limited things.
Yeah, but limited, lol.
Hey, Rogue Existence is back. That's nice. It's another card I play, but it's a card I like, and I like seeing it around, because it's actually a good effect to have. Want to talk about Daxus? Because I do not.
No.
He has one good thing, though. Daxus Blessed by the Sun, white-white for a 2-star... Legendary Shaman creature, Demigod. That's the fun part about the card.
Demigods.
That and the art looks bitching. His toughness is equal to your devotion to white, and whenever another creature you control enters the battlefield or dies, you gain one life. Woo.
Hooray. White being cool.
I'm sad with white.
I'm sure that they're gonna put in like some enchantment creature for 3 mana that's 1/1 that's I guess Trinisphere effect.
I'm sure they will not, but they might actually, you know, give us for 3 mana a white creature that's 1/3 and whenever an enchantment enters the battlefield under control you draw a card.
Well, they almost did, but instead of that they made it green. Because, you know, green needed more card draw, and white did not.
What the hell are they doing with green for the last couple of years? They gave it a counterspell. They're giving it a bunch of draw.
They want to make green relevant again.
Hasn't it been relevant for, like, a bunch of years?
It was, but they want it to be more relevant, because green is more fun to watch, I guess.
Oko.
Well, Oko is green and blue.
Yeah, and you're playing a bunch of actually green cards with it.
Man, Alco is more blue than green.
Yeah, just like Wail of Summer is more blue than green.
Yeah.
Also, green got a lot of, you know, card filtering.
Because green usually does that?
Yeah, it's the essence of green.
Mm-hmm.
Filtering cards.
And white got
a dick.
Life gain.
No, white. What white got was the Deafening Silence, so for next, like, 2 years, we don't get anything anymore. It's
and
fine.
Deafening Silence isn't that good in constructed formats.
It's good as a sideboard card against certain types of deck, and that's it.
Sometimes, yeah.
I mean, if you resolve it against Storm most of the time, you're pretty peachy.
Yeah, except Storm has solutions for that.
Yeah.
But other than that, nothing really to say about the spoilers?
No, they're like...
But there is a cool event happening on MM Magic Arena.
So, you get a choice between two decks. You get black and blue one, which is the Ashiok deck, versus the mono white, which is the Elspeth deck. And you get to play with cool cards like, you know, Black Lotus, or Ancestor Recall, or all three Moxen in colors, and a Soul Ring. But if you get to play with those cards, guess what deck is actually stronger?
Probably the one that doesn't contain white.
No, probably the one that has Ancestor Recall.
Yeah.
Have you ever resolved Ancestor Recall? Because I have.
No.
Holy crap, it's on. I was playing against the opponent. I played my Black Lotus. A guy cast Rogue Existence on it. I'm like, okay, buddy, you sure did. I don't think it's actually a smart play to revoke existence people's Black Lotus. If you're gonna revoke existence something, do it either on a Moxton or a Soul Ring. But Lotus, I don't think it's actually a good EV.
Yeah, probably not.
Because that Lotus wasn't gonna one way or another. That's what I mean. Generally, Soul Ring is much more powerful than a Black Lotus.
Oh, definitely. When you're drafting, you pick Soul Ring over a Lotus any day of the week.
And whatever the deck is, doesn't matter. Storm, Soul Ring.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Not even questions, just yeah, straight up.
And but, that event is... How long will it last?
I have zero idea.
Cool. Because I haven't updated the arena in, like, months?
Same here.
I mean, if they're not gonna put Brawl as a permanent format, then why bother even?
Oh, they put Brawl as a cash grab. Womp womp.
It's like once a week. What's the point of it, then?
Also, Niksha, you're a standard person somewhat, right?
Yeah.
What the hell is happening with Corvald that he's 20 fucking euros?
Well, he's being played.
Uh-huh,
that was basically
like,
it.
Because that was like, oh, Mate is selling a Corvald, I may just buy it from him, because, you know, just to give Tess another John Commander. Oh crap, this is 21 euros, what the hell.
Because it's being played, and it probably has less... Do you remember how they justified the Nexus thing?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Nexus of Fate.
Nexus of Fate. They justified the Nexus of Fate that it has more copies of it than any single mythic in the set because mm-hmm. of the nature of Biobox promos.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they have the same excuse for Corvald.
Fun fact about that, by the way. It was... We were playing yesterday, right? At the shop. It was yesterday, I think.
Well...
Anywho. The Brawl decks arrived that day. Corvald was sold out in like an hour.
Yeah, and the rest were sold out shortly after.
Yeah. I don't think we have enough supply for the whole thing.
I still don't... you see... Corvald... they thought they'd made Corvald not very playable in Standard, but... You know... It's... They done goofed it up. They need to print more Brawl decks. They need to, like, increase the supply, like, tenfold. Because, you know, having to buy a pre-con deck just to get your hands on one card isn't really the way it's meant to be played. You know? Feeling me? I think that at some point, it will happen... It will be the same with the rest of the Brawl commanders.
Back.
Hey there.
Something got over it, but what I said, including Sir Gwyn or?
No. Okay, not including Sir Gwyn.
Yeah. So could you please, next time you... Wizards, can you give me a good actual, you know, Marduk commander, please? Or fuck, just to print Alesha in one of those. Fine. I'll take that. I'll fucking take that.
On the other hand, they reported that the Secret Lair were very successful.
Oh, they definitely were.
So we can expect the Secret Lair is to be dropping more regularly during the whole year, I guess. Yeah, probably. I mean, they print money. They basically print money. Because they sell singles.
When you print singles that people want, surprisingly.
With a guarantee that they're unlimited in, you know, supply. It's just mm-hmm. that there's a 24-hour window for them.
Yeah.
But still, everyone who orders one will get one. And they also include a little bonus of those stained glass foiled planeswalkers.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. But what else?
Is there anything else?
We got a Terra's trailer.
Which looks fine.
It looks fine. I mean, I like the War of the Spark and Eldraine trailer more. But we're going to get a cinematic trailer for each expansion now. Which is awesome.
Which sounds like a thing that should be happening all the time anyway.
I mean, it's still not even close to
Ice Age. By the way, for people who are not initiated, go on YouTube and actually find the Ice Age trailer for Magic the Gathering. And laugh yourself silly.
But on a more serious note, the Journey into Nyx.
Oh, that was a good one.
Which remains to me one of the best trailers ever.
That was a pretty strong one.
It was. It was super strong.
Many strong. Anything else?
So we're getting Terra soon. We might be doing some wild speculations about Ikoria. Maybe some future Secret Lair drops. Who knows?
That doesn't sound like us.
Definitely, yeah, totally doesn't sound like us.
By the way, I'm gold fishing now. I came in like turn 3 or 4 with this hand. It's the best.
Cool.
Goblin Warren, Westplark. By the way, I got Westplark. I did it today. Oh, yeah. And then Imperial Recruiter to get the Felder Guardian.
Oh, yeah, one of our one of the guys we play CDH with, he told me, he told a couple of us his experience with Vintage Cube.
Oh, yeah?
Turn one, it was like Sol Ring into Mana Vault. Basically, turn one or two, it was a Golos that went for Caracas.
Oh, my.
So it was every turn, it was Golos time.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, that's Vintage Cube for you.
What I saw, Caleb McGannon, the guy on YouTube playing, he drafted basically Mono White with 4 Moxen. Turn 1, he plays the Danto Vanguard with Moxen of Plains, right?
Mm-hmm.
Turn 2, Silverbound Paladin. How was the guy? You know the guy that gets double struck?
Yeah, Silverblade Paladin.
Silverblade Paladin. Attacks for 6. Turn 3, he plays Elspeth Tyrell.
Mm-hmm.
Kills the guy. Just, you know, casual turn 3 mono white win.
Yep, as mono white does.
Turns out mono white is good when it's, you know, in a cube with, you know, power.
I mean,
turns out
yeah.
Pieces of power are kind of
so
good.
Let's just put reprint pieces of power but make them white.
Okay.
Then time white might be competitive.
Time Twister, but 2 and white.
Yeah.
Ancestor Recall, just white.
Just, you know, Time Walk for 1 and a white.
I'm liking the direction this is going, Nick. Keep on telling me things like this.
Wormcoil Engine, but for 5 and a white.
Okay. I'll take it, honestly. I will counterspell white.
Sure, why not?
Actually, name it something like Enact Justice, you know.
Yeah. just to keep it in flavor.
I would like to live in this world. It sounds like a wonderful place to be.
Yeah, I know why it's playable.
Yes, thank you. Rub it in. I think Vince actually was being pissy at State of White in Magic.
Yep, he was.
If I remember on Twitter, I saw it like yesterday, the day before yesterday.
And I'm pretty sure on YouTube as well.
Didn't see that, but you know.
Well, maybe Wizards do something about White in like 4 years.
I was gonna say the problem is even if they listen to him and start immediately putting the things in, we're gonna see it in like 2 years. Or a year and a half.
Oh, I just remembered. Did you see in the playtest cards in the Mystery Boosters? They actually put in the Nemesis of Reason or something like that. The 3 green black for a 4/4 flying vigilance.
Yes.
A zombie fungus something plant.
You know the most green black card ever?
Yeah.
I'm still pissy about that one. Cuz holy crap. That reasoning was stupid and pulled out of its own ass.
I mean, that's probably why they have so many card draw in green, because, you know, Oran Viper draws cards when it deals combat damage. So obviously green can draw cards. There's also, you know, that time-shifted...
Harmonize.
Harmonize, which obviously proves that green draws cards. Completely unconditionally, like, you don't have to actually have creatures on the field to, you know, fuel the card draw. You just draw cards.
I mean, that has at least an excuse of being in Planar Chaos.
Yeah. And that set was wacky, oh.
That set was fun. But, yeah, I think we're done with the episode.
We are.
Because we're just rambling for the last, like, 20 minutes.
Well, I would say that we were rambling for the last hour. But okay.
Shh. We're professional. We are super professional, you guys. But yeah, this has been episode 107 of the Elder Dragon Doodle Podcast. This was your host, Igor, and as always with me was my co-host, Niksha. Say bye, Niksha.
Bye.
And as always, the Emperor protects.
My brothers has been swallowed by the grounds. Unbelievable, insatiable thirst, the lines break. Tide swats and rushes forth, my arms shake. I am swallowed by the storm surge. But I will turn from this, we will emerge from this. Ignore the gripping dread that slithers up our spines from this. Yet I'm the final dirge. Hear me! I command a standard soul, a standard phase of chaos scourge. I count the days as to come, turn to a month now. Still with perseverance we raise the body count. Besides the pangs of pain, know that I know your face. You know mine when every death is repaid. Burning bastions sanctioned by your chaplains. Line up every sight while I align the battlements. 10,000 lights burn out in a blink. With a stalwart step prepared to hold before this brink of the precipice. While I join with disaster, declare the funeral song. One reason that you hold on. Show me the war, master! And those I thought were my brothers have turned their backs on the fold. The Yadman's act I now hold. We hid ourselves in the dark. Foundation shook. Step out of the sunlight to re-emerge. Luna wolves. Now we wait on our haunches. Coiled. Soon I will find my vengeance gets a despoiled. I can't forget the sight of their becoming poison. Suffering immaterial death. Fate unavoidable. Knife meets back. Those brothers meets bloodshed. Return to give the devil tapping to the serpent's head. Backstabber turn go. Chain of command failures. Miniature lower swords as it ducks through your defenses. Tide turns again and not in our favor. My forces face a death, but not once do they wait. And as the palace is breached, I'll take what I can reach. Aim for Avedon's throat. Your life is beyond reproach. By the despicable's hand, our hope is scattered like sand. And every outcome I wanted sits above the I'm haunted. Should have kept deeper still. Bury my grave to fill. Soon I will have all your heads. You should have checked I was dead. And I can still see their faces. Their trusting look led astray. Only blood can amend this.